Hello, Spookies. Christina here. We have a really fun episode. We teamed up with Cuento Crimen Podcast and told them a paranormal story, and they told us a true crime story. I do apologize for my audio. At some points, you will hear my baby as well. It just sounds a little off, but it was still a very fun episode. I do want to let our Spanish challenge friends that the Cuento Crimen portion of this is very Spanish heavy compared to our usual episodes. But you'll hear our part first and then their part. I hope you enjoy. Stories, folklore, legends, leyendas, cuentos y más. This is Spooky Tales. Listen, escuchen at your own risk. This is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And today we have a very special episode. We have the amazing Cuento Crimen Podcast here with us, and they're going to tell us a true crime story. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hey everyone, I'm Jahaira.
Hola a todos, I am Stephanie.
And we are Cuento Crimen.
Excited to be here.
Yes, very excited to have you guys. Oh, before we start, if you want to tell everyone about your podcast, I am a fan. Sorry, my baby's here. he's a fan too. That's why he's here. But yeah, go ahead and tell us about your podcast.
So we are a true crime podcast. We cover our cases in Spanglish, pero también tenemos episodios en español, and we cover cases that don't have that much media attention. Mm-hmm.
Which is why usually our episodes are pretty short, but it's just like these cases don't have much information on them, you know? It's just like the simple gist, and then it goes into a cold case and that's about it, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we do over there at Cuento Crimen.
Yeah, so definitely give them a listen. It's important to hear about these cases that nobody else is covering because it's always the same ones, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The same, mm-hmm. same white people. Oh, MJ's gonna disappear at some point as well. Just letting everyone know.
So in case y'all don't hear me at the end giving my thoughts, that's why. But I'm here right now.
Yes, yeah. She's gonna go watch Spider-Man.
Ooh. Ooh.
I heard it's really good. No spoilers. okay, well, if you do leave, MJ, it was really nice to virtually meet you, mm-hmm. and thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for inviting us. I had so much fun doing this collab.
All right, what's the story?
So we're taking you to the infamous San Pedro haunting. Mm-hmm. This haunting took place over a course of 3 years. In 1988, Jackie Hernandez was going through a very difficult time in her life. Pregnant with her second child and going through a messy divorce, Jackie moved into a rental house at 593 West 11th Street, San Pedro, California. She was working multiple jobs and going to school part-time with a very stressful personal life.
Wow, that's a lot.
At first, things she was experiencing in her home weren't anything harmful. She would feel like she was being watched, like there was someone right behind her, but when she would turn around, there was no one. Several months passed and the activity became more noticeable. The activity at first was small. Things would disappear and reappear in different areas of the house. There would be knocking and banging heard, weird smells, things she could still rationalize. Her ex-husband's home burned down and temporarily moved in with her, and that's when the activity started picking up. One night, things took a turn. Her ex-husband was sitting next to her desk, and her friend was sitting down watching TV. As she walked towards her desk, a pencil holder that was on the table started to levitate, then flew at her. Al, her ex, and her just stared at each other. It was like someone had thrown it at her. She was so terrified that she ran out of her home with her son and called the police, according to events.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would be like, no.
Yeah, the police were not exactly happy with her story. They didn't believe her. We'll just
they're probably like, why are you calling us, loser?
But so how do you blame that. You know, like, oh, this officer just flew at me.
Yeah, they were not happy. So soon after, Jackie had her neighbor, Susan Castañeda, over. The two were having dinner when they heard a painting that was hung in a separate room fall. When both women went to see what happened, the painting was 5 feet away from where it was originally. On a different occasion, Susan claims to have witnessed the lamp float seven feet across the room before falling at her feet.
7 feet.
I would like to say that Jackie has a ride or die because no. I'd be like, bye. Nice knowing you.
Anyway, yeah.
I would be like,
bye.
Don't contact me ever. Yeah. One night, Jackie and her friend were cooking when they saw orbs of light float around the room. Jackie tried to take a picture of the orbs. When doing so, she saw the face of an old man staring at her through the window. She went outside to investigate, but no one was there. Jackie's ex-husband advised her to call the spirits out. Susan told Jackie's landlord about the events, and he suggested seeking help from a priest. However, the priest was not helpful. He claimed her home wasn't haunted, but instead that she was possessed by the devil.
Oh my God.
It was her.
Yeah. She's the problem.
That's not surprising.
That would make me feel worse to know that it's me.
Oh, and it gets worse. The priest makes things worse. The priest ended up calling CPS, Child Protective Services.
Oh no. Wow.
Yeah, believing that she was using hallucinogenic drugs while pregnant. The birth of her daughter escalated the activity. She claims that blood-like substance began to ooze from the walls one night. After having a conversation with a friend who found money in the attic of the house she lived in left by the previous tenants, Jackie wanted to check to see if the previous tenants didn't leave any money. She took a peek into the attic. When she looked in it, she opened the, what is that called? A little, you know,
the like attic a trap, the like a door that, is it like the doors that you push
like
up?
Like the trap door thing. Yeah. When she looked in, she saw a severed head of an old man. She was so terrified, she fell back and into her kitchen.
Ooh, imagine you open up, you see a man. No.
I mean, on top of, it's like the attic. So, you know, you have to climb to get there. So you're falling a good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gotta hurt.
On one occasion, while she was bringing in groceries, she noticed that her magnetic letters on her refrigerator spelled, "Get the hell out."
Ooh.
This is where I'm not too sure what the correct version of series of events. One source says that she saw a dark mist appear and float through the room and then disappear, prompting her to check on her children, where she witnessed an old man sitting on the bottom bunk staring at her. That's
casual.
And another source says later that night she could hear a raspy breathing. She followed the sound into her son's bedroom, where she witnessed what described as an old man sitting next to her son.
Oh no.
In both versions, this old man is describing as having red eyes and like an evil stare.
Oh my God.
I'm getting goosebumps. I feel like someone's watching me do it now.
And it was around this time with the incident with her children that a friend suggested she contact parapsychologist Barry Taft. And Barry Taft was famous for his investigation into the Doris Bither case from the mid-70s. And this case went on to inspire the movie Entity. So he had... This man that they were contacting had, you know, a lot of experience with the paranormal.
Oh, I will say I probably walked by this house all the time and didn't even realize it, because I used to spend a lot of summers in San Pedro. That's where a lot have family there. And they lived on West 14th Street. And back then we used to just walk everywhere. Like there was a Taco Bell down the street, the Vons store. It was like a Walgreens. So I'm pretty sure I walked by this house. Ooh. I didn't know it at the time.
I wonder if people live in it right now. Like, I wonder.
Yeah, I think they changed. They changed the address, because now I was going to say that address doesn't exist. It's a 1. There's no 3.
That's so creepy.
What was it again? It was like, it ended in 593, right?
593 West 11th Street.
Yeah, now there is no 593. It's 591 and then it skips past the 3. Yeah.
So. No.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, the tenant, like, whoever lived in there after her was probably, like, hounded by a lot of people who wanted to do paranormal investigations.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. But, yeah, it gets worse after the investigators arrive. Yes, and Barry Taft, he's got, like, 25 years of investigating paranormal things. He had, like, 3,000 cases under his belt. And he agreed to take on Jackie Hernandez's case because it intrigued him. So on August 8th, 1989, Barry Taft and three investigators went to interview Jackie. Upon entering the house, they all noticed a foul odor and no one could locate the source. The team brought all their equipment, cameras, image intensifiers, infrared detectors, the whole enchilada, one could say. While the team interviewed Jackie, the paranormal activity began immediately. They heard pounding coming from the attic, and Barry Taft described this like a 200-pound rat running around the attic.
Rat,
right?
That I mean, even if there's no ghost, ew.
Yeah.
Like the rat alone, ew.
They also described a sensation of what they called overpressure, which is like a feeling of being underwater. And the team said this is often felt at haunted locations, which I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So later that same day, the photographer Barry Conrad and cameraman Jeff Wheatcraft went into the attic, and Conrad was taking pictures up there when suddenly he was pushed and the camera was snatched from him and thrown down. When he went to pick it up, the lens had been separated from the camera, and they were the only two up there. So obviously, like, who did this, right? Mm. It was the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The team left for the... That reminds me, there's an urban legend in the Sacramento tunnels of rat people.
What?
Really? Okay. What?
I'll have to cover that one day. But back to this 200-pound rat. Yeah, right. So after that occurred, the team left for the night, but they maintained contact with Jackie. So then they returned on September 4th. And this time, Wheatcraft, the cameraman, he had a run-in with the entity that was a lot worse. So him and a different photographer, Gary Boehm, were in the attic again, taking pictures and filming, when suddenly a clothesline was wrapped around Wheatcraft's neck.
Oh, my God, no.
And he was, like, pulled up. And the other guy, Gary, went to help him. And so there's a picture of this. Obviously, things can be faked, right? But they said they took this picture when this happened. After that day, Wheatcraft, the cameraman, refused to set foot in the house.
Yeah, I would too.
Once the paranormal investigators left for good after that day, the activity worsened. So one night, the entities began playing with Jackie's son's toys to, I guess, gain her attention. So it threw a beach ball, and when Jackie went to go pick it up, she was grabbed by an invisible hand that pinned her down, and she couldn't breathe. When she was finally free, she grabbed the bat, ran to the attic, and yelled until the entity materialized before her. And so naturally, she was horrified. She got her children, and they all left. And so in an attempt to flee from these hauntings, Jackie took her two kids and got back with her ex-husband, and they moved to Weldon, California. And for some time, things were okay. Life was, like, back to normal. It was calm. She started feeling comfortable in her new home, and she really believed that she had left these entities or ghosts back in her old San Pedro house. But then, within a few weeks of moving in, the marriage began having problems again, and her husband just, you know, up and left. And then the paranormal activity began again as soon as he left, which is weird.
Yeah.
One night, she was her two neighbors were helping Jackie move a TV into her storage shed. And then suddenly the face of the old man appeared on the screen. And obviously the TV was unplugged and off because they were moving it into the shed. And two people witnessed this happening. And it was the same face as the attic and the window. So,
It followed her?
Yes, it followed her.
Maybe that the priest was on
the same night. There was, right? Yeah, she left her home, right? The San Pedro house. Mm-hmm. And she's now in a different city, but it's happening again. And she's seeing the same face. That same night, there was nonstop pounding coming from the shed as if something were trying to get out.
Ooh.
She called, no, thank you. But moving is apparently not the answer here. She called Barry Taft and the team, and they went, they made the drive to her house. And when they arrived, they found that none of their electronic equipment was working. As soon as they would turn it on, it would just shut off immediately, even though it was working before they left. The team came to the conclusion that their normal investigative materials would not work. And so they brought out a Ouija board. And during their seance, they contacted... That's never good.
Yeah.
So in the transcript, Jackie wrote down some of the things, and one question they asked, how long have you been trapped in the spirit world? And it answered, 60 years. Another one, did you die in the San Pedro house? No. Where did you die? San Pedro Bay. Did you drown? No, I was held underwater. Did you live in the San Pedro house? My murderer lived there. Ooh. So that's why he was in the house, apparently.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Even 10 times more spooky.
This is why you have to like ask for like the history of the house that you're buying.
Like, did anybody?
Yes, and then do like a limpieza when you move into a new house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like a custom. And I feel like some people get a priest to come over and be like blessing everything.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of this juju, whatever it is. Get
that's it. So scary. Yeah,
exactly. So during the seance, the table was shaking uncontrollably. And when the session ended, the same photographer that had been choked, Wheatcraft, was pushed against the wall.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
He can't catch your breath.
That ghost did not like him. Yeah. And they discovered during the seance that the reason this ghost didn't like him is because he looked like the guy that murdered him.
Oh. It was triggering the ghost.
Yes, his face was triggering him. During the seance, they discovered that the entity had been born in 1912 and died in 1930 in the San Pedro Bay. And when they went, after the seance, they went and researched old newspapers, and they came to the conclusion that this was a Navy person. Herman Hendrickson, I'm so mature. Anyway, he'd been found floating in the San Pedro Bay under a pier on March 25th, 1930. Some of the details of Hendrickson didn't match the information Jackie had from the seance, but she didn't sway from believing that Herman Hendrickson was the entity haunting her. They also came to the conclusion that the old man Jackie kept seeing in the San Pedro home was the original owner, John Damon, who passed away in the house on his way to the bathroom.
Ooh. Oh,
very specific.
Had a heart attack or something. They didn't specify how he died. He just said he was on his way to the bathroom.
Okay.
But after the seance, the activity calmed down. It's almost like Herman Hendrickson just wanted his story heard. Jackie believed that both ghosts found their peace after the seance and moved on. She moved back to the LA area during this time and did visit her old San Pedro house. And she claims that she saw an orb leave the old home and travel to a cemetery. And then it settled over a tombstone with the name John Damon. Almost movie-like.
It is.
Barry Taft believes that Jackie's mental state, her marriage troubles, and stress made it easy for the negative spirits to attach themselves to her. And he had never seen an entity follow a person this many times. But 4 years after the hauntings, Jackie says her daughter doesn't remember any of it. Her son is doing okay, was doing okay at the time. I don't know about now. And hopefully they're all okay, right? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, she's doing better. So they were all doing better. But now she's more afraid of dying than before the hauntings because she believed the ghosts that were haunting her were living in hell.
Oh. Mm.
Yep. Never and that of it is that the way, case yeah. of Jackie Hernandez.
Right? That's so yeah. scary and creepy.
Huh, that's I wonder because you guys were saying how like they told her that supposedly like the like that was attached to her.
Yeah.
But then like once you find out about who like these ghosts were, it seemed like they came from the house, but it's like it's interesting how and why they got attached
to her.
You know?
But from what I hear, there's theories that like you could just be walking down the street and if you come by a spirit, they're just like that one and they stick to you. So maybe it's like what she
and then you have to be like susceptible to it.
Yeah, that too.
Like the guy was saying that she was in like such a negative like poor her, right? Like it's not her fault. She was going I mean I don't know the situation of the divorce, but those are like life stresses for anyone, but it's like, yeah, because you were having all this stress, these ghosts were haunting you. You should have been more positive about your divorce, okay?
Yeah. Not a vulnerable stage.
Yeah, vulnerable stage. And the ghosts got comfortable. Yeah.
Which I've heard of that before, too. So, yeah. Wow, I don't know what I would do if that was her.
I know, it's so also, scary.
It was interesting, like, the fact that
they
wouldn't really be around whenever she would get back. Like with her ex-husband, right? Because there's like that one time that he came back, and like it all stopped. And then as soon as he left, like, oh, it's back again. That's interesting.
Maybe she was in a happier stage.
Oh, maybe.
You know?
Or maybe the ghost was like scare the male presence, or I don't know.
Because I know in the first one, when he moved in with her, it's where when it started getting like negative. But I think maybe like, again, it would like, it led to them getting together, maybe a more positive part of her life, and then probably why they couldn't feed off her negativity or her negative energy. I don't know. Who knows? Who understands?
Yeah, maybe.
Not me.
Just theories. And it's a good theory to live by, though. Like, you know, you once you are happy and you're radiating that energy, like no one can take that from you.
Yeah.
So. And there's also a thing that women. It's said that women cause poltergeist. There's like this thing poltergeists are often seen the most with teenage girls around.
What?
And women often tend to be the ones to like do like to bring in poltergeists. So I've heard theories on this case that it was in fact Jackie's energy that was causing all this. So
also, when she was pregnant women are more susceptible to the paranormal.
She was Don't say that. Don't say that.
Oh, it's okay. I was pregnant twice and I didn't see anything.
I mean, true. I've been pregnant for 7 months. I haven't seen anything. So.
Okay. So, you're probably fine.
And I shall keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, but you're always haunted, and I shall MJ. Keep my
mouth. That's true. That is true. That is so true. Which, speaking of, I saw a shadow person last night. That was fun.
Oh my God. I was going to tell you that too. Like, you have seen a lot of shadow people, huh?
Yeah, I do. I saw one yesterday when I was like putting away the groceries and I'm like, oh, are you hungry or what?
I have a lot of friends.
You better pay half of this grocery bill.
Pay your rent.
The good thing is that you're not scared of them and you can just shake it off, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't bother me. They're annoying.
I don't know. It's just like, here we go again.
Can you at least mop?
I'm going to say you there on the house.
I know.
Sure.
All right.
Well, that was it. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I had not heard
You're welcome.
Before, but I feel like there's just so many paranormal stories.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I get really scared. I get really scared.
So but, I'm not gonna sleep tonight.
Yeah, I might not sleep tonight.
So today we do have a case from Latin America. I'm sure many of you all have heard of it, but just in case there's some that haven't, we decided to cover La Mata Viejitas case.
Nice. Yes, I am familiar.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Not to make a crime sound like it's good, but
yeah. It's an interesting one.
Very interesting. Name, like, yeah, the name is very suiting for this person.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. So we always like to start off our episodes with some background information on the person. And in this case, we will talk a lot about her upbringing because it does lead to what she did and her name, La Mata Viejitas.
Mm-hmm. So to start off, her legal name was actually Juana de Llanara Barraza. And like, fun fact, her middle name, de Llanara, was actually supposed to be my middle name too. Oh. Yeah, and it's not like a common name, you know, so when I read that I was like, whoa. But
what are the chances there?
Exactly, right? But anyway, so Juana nació el 27 de diciembre in the year 1957, and she was born in Hidalgo, Mexico, which is just north of Mexico City. I'm not too good with geography, so I'm still not too sure exactly where that's at. But, you know, just to paint a picture for those of you who are.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Her mother was Justa Samario, who was an alcoholic, and her father was Trinidad Basara, a police officer. We read that her father abandoned her mother, la mamá de Juana, and that he left on the day that Juana was born, and he took her little brother with him.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really sad. And so 3 months later, her mother, along with Juana, they moved to Mexico DF. Y su madre se dedicó a las labores domésticos y tuvo dos hijos with another man. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of.
Yeah, this case is pretty intense. So, you know, a trigger warning, right?
Yeah.
Juana tenía prohibido salir a la calle o ir a la escuela. Like, she was not allowed to do those things. Oh. Because of her stepfather, he thought that, like, women had no need to go study because, oh, like, God, they were going to be, like, housewives. Yeah. I know. Like, what, like, the heck?
Mentality. Yeah.
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 Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gets even worse because Juana, she was actually tortured by her mother physically and verbally, but her stepfather did not know. And so in a way, like, she actually saw him as her protector. Just kind of interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Justa, la mamá era alcohólica, as we mentioned before. And, you know, it is a chronic disease. Like, we do have to say that, but mm-hmm. still, like, it's just not enough to, like, justify what she did to her daughter, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, Justa, la mamá, like, is a whole other issue that we can, like, dissect and get into. But, like, we're just going to try to stay on track.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like an onion. Like, there's just so much layers. And obviously, like, I feel like if you think about it, the background or the uprising of an individual can explain so much mm-hmm. as to why they did the actions that they did. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so going back to the case, un día, Justa went to a party and she actually ended up selling her daughter for 3 beers.
What?
Wow.
So, you know, Juana was sold. Y ella nomás tenía like 11 or 13 years old. We weren't too sure like her exact age, but she was like a preteen, you know? And she was sold to a man who was like way older than her. And, you know, he would beat, he would tie, and he would rape Juana. And she remained with him actually for a while, and he would, you know, again, abuse her constantly. And eventually Juana se embarazó, and she had her first son.
Yeah. We read that I think her mother told everyone that she had, like, ran away, but, you know, she was the one that sold her.
Oh, wow.
And okay. Yeah, like, and her stepfather didn't know that this was going on. Wow. And so when he did find out, like, that was about 3 months after giving birth, los hermanos del padrastro rescued her.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if they just left her over there or if they... So that's good, at least.
Yeah.
Y la mamá de Juana actually ended up dying de cirrhosis hepática? Mm-hmm. Hepática, sorry. Uh-huh. Which is basically like just, it's, you know, disease caused by alcohol abuse. It damages your liver and then, you know, the person just kind of...
passes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Juana was 18 years old when this happened. And obviously, you know, like, they had a rough past. Entonces, when she did pass, Juana says that she felt nothing from her mother's death. Like, it was just kind of like, well,
Well, yeah, she caused her a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Told her, like.
Yeah. And so at 23 years old, Juana se casó con un señor que se llama Miguel Ángel Barrios, and she had a daughter with him, but she wasn't too lucky, and this guy was not good for her because he began to be violent with her. So then she started a new relationship with a man named Felix Juarez, but he too began to be very violent with her, so, like, it, you know, didn't last long.
There's just, like, a lot of tragic things in her life, like, one after the other one, literally.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she can't catch a break.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it just, you know, it sucks because it seems like she just wants to be loved, but everyone she opens up to just,
yeah,
like, abuses
her. They're all trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's already a lot, but, like, one of the saddest moments in her life was when her firstborn, Jose Enriquez, was killed during a street fight, and I think he was around, like, 24, 25. I'm not too sure his age, but he was young.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
When she was 30 years old, Juana actually started a career as a luchadora. So that's pretty, I don't know, I think that was really interesting. Y ella se hizo llamar la dama del silencio.
Mm-hmm. And, like, she really did enjoy this, like, profession that she found. It makes sense. I feel like, you know, she went through a lot. She has, like, a lot of anger. So she probably, like, used this as, like, a...
her outlet.
Yeah, her outlet, you know?
And then in one of her matches, she actually got injured pretty badly. And the doctor told her that she might not be able to walk again. And so for that reason, she actually decided to retire. Y ya no más, like, no more luchas for her. And so she actually started working as a wrestling promoter.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of still stayed in the field, but she wasn't actually, like, active in the ring.
Yeah. A little fast forward, en el año 2003, a series of murders began in la Ciudad de México. At first, they didn't know that they were, like, connected,
mm-hmm,
but it was only, like, older women who were being murdered inside their own homes.
Mm-hmm. And like Steph said, like, it took a while to connect the crimes together and realize that this was actually a series of murders.
Mm-hmm, yeah. They did take other people as suspects when, like, these murders were happening, but it wasn't them. So they, right, you know, let them go. So they never really, like, had a, you know, strong suspect. So, like, the crimes would just keep happening.
Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of like, I don't know, it takes time to tie them together, and then that adds even more time to find someone who would actually do this.
Yeah.
The whole train of them. Entonces, like, between November 2003 to January 2004, about 23 older women were actually victims of this.
That's a lot.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. 23?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and it's, like, God. What, 4 months, right?
Yeah.
November, December, January. Oh, 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 months.
In a span of 3 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot. I always forget because I've listened to a few podcasts covering this and I never, mm-hmm, remember the details. So it's like I'm hearing it for the first time again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. And so they started collecting evidence, and in one of the scenes encontraron como un moño tradicional que usaba this, like, murder. And they also were collecting fingerprints. And they were able to connect some fingerprints between the crime scenes.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was the same fingerprints found within them, but they weren't able to trace it back yet.
Yeah, because, oh, okay, this person wasn't, like, in their system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, like, they have this fingerprint that appears in, like, multiple of these murders. So obviously they're connected and it's the same person, but they just don't know who yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was out of control. And because of that, the police implemented un operativo en parques y jardines de la Ciudad de México, you know, so that was kind of like their way to kind of protect those around them. Y allí es donde Juan aprovechaba para tener contacto con mujeres that were older.
Yeah, I think, like, they wanted to, like, catch her in action, you know? Yeah. I mean, they didn't, okay, really know who they were looking,
yeah,
for.
I just went, like, yeah, it was Juana who was, like, talking to these women, but they knew, like, whoever it was.
Yeah.
Like, that's where, I guess, they were targeting these older women, which is, like, at parks and, like, jardines around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, the crimes slowed down during these couple of months.
Okay. But
that didn't last long, though.
Oh.
Because, yeah, like, it slowed down for a little bit, but not completely stopped. The 25th of January of 2006, Juana Barraza se levantó and, you know, she prepared breakfast. It was like a regular day. So she gave breakfast, you know, to her kids, Emma y Jose, quienes se fueron a la escuela. Luego ella, you know, she left her home para ofrecer sus servicios. She was actually like a housekeeper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she sent her kids off and she was like, okay, I'm gonna go out and do my work, get my money.
Mm-hmm. Y como a las 11 de la mañana, Juana estaba por la calle José Jasó cuando vio a Ana María, una mujer viuda que vivía en una colonia. And I think Juana assumed that she like lived alone. Mm-hmm. So she found a target.
Yeah. And Ana María, you know, was just getting back from her grocery shopping. So she had a bunch of bags with her. And, you know, she is an older woman. So even then, she's going to like kind of walk kind of slow, you know. Entonces, Juana aprovechó y se acercó a ella. And, you know, was just offering her help. And she's like, yeah, I can help carry these bags all the way to your house. You know, like no biggie.
Mm-hmm. Cuando estaban afuera del apartamento de Ana María, Juana le comentó que se dedicaba a hacer servicios de lavado y de planchado. And Ana María, la mujer de 84 años, le ofreció 22 pesos por lavar una docena de ropa. Pero Juana dijo que era muy poco. And I think it is.
I mean, that sounds so like, yeah, that's,
yeah,
that's so little.
Pesos. Yeah, that's like, depending on how much like the dollar is, but that's like not even a dollar.
Yeah. No, wow.
Not in these times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Entonces Juana le dijo que era muy poco y le respondió. Entonces Ana María le contestó, así son siempre las gatas, quieren ganar demasiado.
End quote. Rude.
Damn. That's kind of rude.
Yeah.
It is rude.
Like,
and
yeah.
It's work, you know, and I feel like, I don't know, they always like want to like, ¿cómo se dice? Like
lowball.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, you know, and it's like, no, like, como dicen, like 22 pesos.
It's nothing, yeah. Nothing.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
I'd be offended.
Yeah, she was. Yeah,
Juana was very offended.
Yes.
She took it too far, though.
Yeah.
She was, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, she already had something against older women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that could have came from, like, her mom's, you know, the relationship that she had with
yeah, like she had that like mother figure dysfunction. Yeah. I don't know.
And then I think also like super side note, so we're not gonna go into it, but I think there's also something about like how her mom and her grandma kind of had like an altercation with the men. I don't know if this is still her stepfather, but I think like they said que estaba con su abuelita and then he left his grandma to go with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just like, I don't know. Yeah, there was like a whole mess, but yeah,
yeah.
A whole other conversation about this case. But that could have also been like, you know, she just never had like good, quote,
anything.
Yeah. With a mother figure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like Steph said, like, obviously she got offended by this and she felt so disrespected by the comment that Ana María made. And of course, she ended up killing Ana María.
Yeah. So, she grabbed her and pretty much choked her mm-hmm. until like she died.
Strangled
yeah,
her.
Strangled her.
And that's also how she would like kill most of her victims. She would just find like objects around and just strangle them.
Yeah, like whatever's like near her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But this was the last crime that she ever made.
Yeah. And so right after she committed the crime, Juana escapó. Like right away, pero en el momento que ella salía del apartamento, el inquilino de Ana María llegó y en ese momento que Juana se iba saliendo, él iba entrando. Entonces cuando él entró, and he like went inside, he found Ana María muerta. And so he ran out after Juana for like 2 blocks and luckily se encontró a unos policías.
Okay.
Yeah, like what were the odds though, you know,
right,
that she's gonna walk in that moment mm-hmm. to find her. Entonces ellos pudieron atrapar a Juana, and this happened the 25th of January, which again was when, you know, she killed Ana María.
Mm-hmm. And all of her victims were women age 60 or over and who lived alone or at least were home alone in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And she made the old ladies believe that she was a nurse, a social worker, or you know, some kind of like
someone they could trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like just offering her help, you know, like, hey, like I'm here for you, you know, type of thing. With like domestic work boys.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, once like these women would accept the help and kind of like invite her in, she would then beat, sexually abuse, strangle, and kill these older women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, like, it's very disturbing.
Terrible.
Juana fue condenada en el 2008 with 759 years of prison. Que, I know, it's so much, but yeah, es la condena más larga en la historia de México.
Wow. Okay. I did not remember that. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is. And also, okay, like super side note again, but 759 years, like, do they really think that she's going to live up to 759 years? I don't know. I never understood those cases that go over like 100 years. I'm just like, it's not, you know, like a human typically.
What? It almost feels like it's like trying to send a message, really, like.
Right. I guess.
Yeah.
So they also have like this this is Spanglish. They also have this law that kind of permits, like, if you have like 50, you know, years, you could possibly have, you know, like be let out early or like be let out conditionally.
Okay.
But, you know, even then, by then she's probably going to be like 98 years old.
Yeah. So. I think like you have to complete 50 years of your sentence and then you could be eligible for that. Okay. But we're not too sure about that. That's like a whole other legal system.
Like, yeah, because here you like years go by and you're eligible for parole.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And so she was charged with murdering 17 older women, but it seems like she's associated with like 40-ish murders. Dang. Like there's like different articles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But it's still a high number. I think like it's probably one of the highest from all the serial killers.
But yeah, that we've covered. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I don't know. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like fast forwarded to the now, you know, the present. Ish. In 2015, Juana actually got married.
What?
Yeah.
I like, okay. How did she find love in there?
There's always those weirdos that like marry serial killers.
Yeah.
They all get married. And I'm like, why?
Like, yeah, why? Why would you want to be with someone like that?
Or, I mean, she's basically going to be in jail her whole life. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, she got married. But 1 year later, she got a divorce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She still had her.
Yeah. And so in interviews, she claims that she should be free because she claims that she did not commit all those crimes. And we quote, me acusan por 16 homicidios, pero las señoras fueron robadas y violadas. ¿En qué momento las violé yo? End quote.
Oh, okay.
She's never admitting to the crimes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's already in there. Just like own up to it.
Right.
Embrace it, really. No, don't embrace it. But like at least own up to it. That's
own up to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she's like still denying it. And like, I wish she didn't, just so like for our own sake of knowing like what her motives were for that.
Yeah.
You know, like
right?
what caused her to kill a bunch of older women. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, like she does claim though that she was working for a lady,
Ana Maria,
and that she slapped her. So Ana Maria slapped Juana. So in return, she pushed her, but that Ana Maria didn't die from that. So she doesn't know how Ana Maria was found dead.
This is probably how the murder started, and she did.
Yeah,
that's true. Right?
Yeah,
maybe did it escalated.
But I think she's like changed her story, so this is what she's saying now.
Oh, you
know? She's had time to think about it.
I mean,
yeah.
She definitely has. She's never really owned up to it. She's never really talked about.
Yeah. And
why.
Yeah. And as of now, she just sells food in prison. And that's all we have on her.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was a very like brief overview of this case because this case had a lot.
It can go very. One super interesting about this case. So I believe she was seen by some people leaving like one of the scenes, but nobody knew it was. And she was like a manly, you know, quote unquote manly looking woman. So they were looking for trans.
Oh, that's right.
At the same time that the case was happening and they were rounding up just trans people, there was a novela, and I don't remember the name of the novela, but the bad person in the novela would cross dress And I feel like there's something there, like playing into, you know, obviously transphobia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is why they took longer in finding the person.
Mm-hmm. They were looking for.
Yeah.
Rounding up the wrong people just because they, you know, were being transphobic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So very intense case.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just also like the way that she was labeled, like Mata Viejitas.
The name, you know?
Like it's just, I mean, it's.
Yeah. It's very accurate.
Yeah. Spot on. It's just like. Right, it's just kind of funny, like,
yeah,
like La Mata Viejitas, you know?
Yeah.
Side note, but the names people come up for each other in Mexico and really all of Latin America, like, I'll hear my parents telling stories about their childhood friends. They literally do not know some of these people's names. They're like, yeah. El Vinos, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, they don't know what his name was, or El no sé qué. And they're like, based on what people look like.
Yes, I think like actually that's really funny. I think yesterday I was having a conversation with my boyfriend's parents, and like, you know, they were talking about that, like family friends, but their names, like I think there's like a person named La Fresa.
Yeah.
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 Like,
how did they keep up with that? Like, yeah. La Fresa, you know?
Like there's a story to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when you met them, or like if it's a job, or like
a little insider.
Yeah, a little insider, where they're from, yeah. You know?
Hilarious.
So I guess in this case, you just talked about La Mata Viejitas, you know?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We really had a lot of fun.
Yes. Thanks for coming on. This was great. Before we wrap up, we always do a little spooky recommendation for the listeners. Do you happen to have any spooky recommendations? It's okay if you don't.
Wait, spooky recommendations, like in one sense?
Like a spooky show, spooky movie, spooky podcast, book, anything that is spooky that anyone can consume.
I love it. Well, aside from your podcast, when I want to like get in a spooky one, and I think I talked about this one too. It's pretty funny. It's called STD. It's called Scared to Death.
Oh my god, I love them.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And I think it's so funny how they go back and forth, like with fighting with each other, or like,
yeah,
I don't know, the reaction to one another. So yeah, I would say that's a good podcast. I'm trying to think of a movie, but like I feel like I blank out, and then as soon as like I'm stopped.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of all these movies because I love watching like creepy, spooky movies. You know what I mean? God dang it! Let me think. I love a spooky.
Yeah, you do.
I'm trying to think of like not because lately, you know, lately I haven't really like been like watching a lot of stuff.
It gets busy,
especially this time of year.
Yeah. I don't know what shows you've been watching.
Well, this is like another like one that probably most people know, but if they have not, I would definitely recommend American Horror Story.
Nice.
I don't know if you watch them, or even like Black Mirror.
Black
Mirror is good.
I don't know. I think they're not. I like those shows because they're not so much of like just like scary, scary, scary stuff. It's just mostly like literally like creepy, spooky things.
Yeah. Like you're left so puzzled. Like yeah. What? Yeah.
So I would recommend those for sure. Like if they do watch American Horror Story, I really like the first three seasons. After that, it gets kind of
yeah.
A little bit weird. I try to keep up with the new one, but I don't know, I got lost with it because like all of a sudden it like switches from like vampire type things to like aliens, so
yeah,
I didn't really get that part. Wait, no, sorry. Bates Motel. It's not a creepy show, but well,
I've been thinking about watching that.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Okay.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
So my spooky recommendation this week is a podcast as well. It's called Get Spooky. It's hosted by a married couple. I gotta pull up their names because I forget.
That's funny. They're always a married couple.
Yes. So yes, Get Spooky podcast is hosted by Kevin and Andres, two married guys sharing stories of paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world.
Okay, cool.
Yes, it's a lot of fun.
I'll check them out.
They do, and I don't mind this as much on any of podcasts I listen to, but I know some people are super picky about it. They do go on a lot of little rants, but I like them. So. They're super funny, but yeah, it's really good.
Ooh, okay.
I'll check them out.
Give them a follow. I actually really like the little rants sometimes.
I do. They're fun.
Right.
Before we go, anything else you guys want to add on?
I don't think so. Just a big thank you again for collabing with us. It was fun. Definitely enjoyed the story from earlier today.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was great. Having this episode. It's going to be a good one. And yeah, make sure you guys just search Cuento Crimen on wherever you listen to podcasts. And also I'll include the link on the show notes as well. All right. And then again, MJ's gone, so you're not going to hear her, as you haven't heard her in the entirety of this episode, except for when she said hi. So weird. Stay spooky. We'll catch everyone next time. Bye.
Bye.
Shout out to our spookies supporting us on Patreon: Martin, Mariela, Cleo, Rene, Yamaris, Iris, Ghost Train, and Madtown Charity. Thank you so much for your support. It means the world to us. Spooky Tales is hosted by Christina and MJ, edited and produced by Christina. If you're looking for extra ways to support the show, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/spookytales. And you can also check out our Patreon for bonus episodes and more. Go to spookytales.com/support. But of course, you have our eternal gratitude for just listening. Stay spooky!